Appreciate your attendance tonight and want to begin back up a week to remind you of a quote that we shared last Sunday night. Because since I read this quote, I've been thinking along these lines. It's a quote from North Carolina Governor Mike Easley. And part of his inauguration speech some years ago contained these words. "We all like to believe that children are taught respect, responsibility, and character at home and in church. But the sad truth is, some are not. And if they don't learn it at the schoolhouse, the next stop is the courthouse." I appreciated that statement, but also purposed in my own heart that I wanted to renew my focus in my own home about seeking to continue to teach my children to respect their elders and those around them. And I knew I'd be speaking tonight to parents, to grandparents, to adult members of the church who have our own circles of influence on the children around us. And so this is intended for all of us to try to help the next generations to learn this important biblical principle of respect for other people. I'll be approaching it from primarily the parent standpoint, but many applications can be made. So we want to commit ourselves tonight, I know that you do, in making sure we do our part in teaching our children, our grandchildren, our children that we've adopted as such, to be respectful of others. Number one, respect must be taught and required at home. That's where the teaching, the training must begin. I like Chuck Colson's job description for parents. Listen to the way he described it. "Parents take small, self-centered monsters who spend much of their time screaming defiantly and hurling peas on the carpet and teach them to share, to wait their turn, to respect others' property. These lessons translate into respect for others, self-restraint, obedience to law. In short, into the virtues of individual character that are vital to a society's survival." Of course, my mind went back to last few years or several years ago now. It's hard to believe I'm the parent of a teenager now. I'm still not used to that. But it just seems like yesterday, and I've heard some of you say those very words, that they were hurling peas and green beans everywhere. But we want to train them, don't we? We want to train them to have these qualities that Chuck Colson described, including this respect for others. How do we go about that? I read a synopsis of a book this past week entitled Take Back Your Kids by William Dougherty. In it, he gives some guidelines to teach in teaching children to respect others. And I want to share some of those things with you. In his book, he has this quote, "All parents long for a relationship in which their children respect them. Yet many parents who want to raise their children to be respectful and non-aggressive actually encourage disrespect and aggressiveness by their lack of vigorous response to the child's behavior." So based upon that, he offers, this is a partial list of Dougherty's lists. Number one, to teach our children to respect others, we need to respect our children. We need to respect our children. Begin by treating our children with respect, and that will help them learn to treat others with respect as well. Involved in that is going to be to allow them to express their opinions and their tastes. And it would also include for us, when we make mistakes, to be willing to apologize, to be willing to demonstrate to them that we know that we're not perfect and we respect them enough to ask for their forgiveness. Respect your child. Secondly, expect respect. Expect respect from your children. Parental respect partly must be earned. But when we look to the scriptures, we see that it's God's design for the family, that children respect, they honor their mother and their father. And so we must have that expectation of our children, that we don't expect them to to be able to demonstrate respect automatically, but we expect them to do so and even train them to do that. Number three, tune your ears to the frequency of respect and disrespect. In other words, make a conscious effort to make sure that our children are demonstrating respect to us and to others. Listen for times of disrespect. The easy thing to do is just to ignore it. Say, well, it's just a stage they're going through. But we need, if we would train our children to be in tune with how respectful they are being. Number four, and I assume he borrowed from Barney Fife, nip disrespectful behavior in the bud. In other words, address it immediately. Don't walk away and fume about being talked to disrespectfully, but address the issue at hand. Say to your child, that was disrespectful. Train your reflexes, he writes, to act quickly, responding immediately if possible. Next, he suggests to explain your new policy on respect to your children at a quiet time when their defenses are down. Because it may be that in our homes we haven't made a strong conscious effort to train our children to be respectful, our grandchildren. And so we need to explain our policy that we're going to do our best to be consistent with in teaching our children proper respect. Next, be firm, but keep your cool. Be firm, but keep your cool. We know that confident parenting is most always calm, clear, focused, and assertive in times of conflict. Mr. Daugherty didn't have this in his list, so I wanted to add this. Based upon biblical precedent, that we also need to establish consequences for disrespect from our children. We need to communicate these to our children and be consistent in enforcing those consequences. Our children need to learn, don't they, that there are consequences to their actions. And if we allow them to get away with such things as disrespect, that can grow into a lot more problems for them and for us. The scriptures state, Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him properly. There's a lot of different things including in discipline, one of which would be this training, teaching, but also establishing those consequences for misbehavior. Proverbs 19:18, chasten your son, discipline your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. A child left to himself will destroy himself and hurt a lot of others. But children want and need the comfort of discipline. They need to know where their boundaries are, where their fences are. Ben Elizabeth Giddens would probably be able to verify this for me, but I've read that on top of Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina, there are two peaks, a few hundred feet between these two peaks. Between them is one of those swinging bridges. It's big enough for two people to pass on this bridge. But the bridge, and I can see Pat Smith doesn't like me talking about this. The bridge does tend to sway at that height, and there's many, many feet down to the bottom of that gorge. But this bridge has a guardrail on either side. And because that guardrail is there, many feel more comfortable, at least, in crossing over that bridge and seeing the sights. Discipline in the home is a guardrail for our children to teach them safety, a safety of respect for the Lord and respect for other people. They need and even want those guardrails, those boundaries, function effectively. So yes, teaching our children respect must begin in the home. And it must be expected. Expect respect from your children. But secondly, Respect must be taught and lived at home. And that's when it really comes to us and the burden of our responsibility in teaching our children and grandchildren to be respectful. There's so many ways to express this, but let me give you a familiar phrase that I really think encompasses effective ways of teaching children to be respectful. That we must talk the talk and walk the walk. If we would expect some things from our children, we must be willing to do those very things. We're to talk the talk. We're to train our children intentionally with serious study and teaching them practically how to demonstrate respect. But we're also to walk the walk, making our lives a living example of what we're seeking to teach them. So let's look at those two aspects a little more closely. We must talk the talk. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, Paul writes, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Consider the word training, the nurture. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Training requires a little creativity today. As children are bombarded with so many different things, and their attention spans seem to be growing smaller and smaller. And so we have to be creative as we intentionally teach our children how to respect others. Another thing that would counteract against our teaching children respect is the mindset of society. One person said it like this: if you want to see the mindset of much of society today, watch Jerry Springer. I can't stand that show. But if you think about any episode that you've seen, you'll agree with this statement that it seems that the cool thing in the eyes of many these days is an in-your-face attitude. In-your-face attitude is not communicating respect. And so we're battling against that as we try to teach our children to be respectful of adults and even their peers. And so we've got to be creative in teaching them and even be very detailed as to what we expect from our children. We've got to talk the talk in training our children. Well, what do we talk about? We talk about God's Word. We talk about how God demands and deserves respect from us and what it means to truly respect God. And we also teach them what God's Word says, lessons we've been talking about the last couple of Sundays, about how God also expects us to respect other people. That's God's will. That's what's right. And that's what's good for us. But even more, we're to talk about practical ways. Give our children clear expectations of how we define what it means to be respectful. Let me share with you a few things that have been suggested. When someone else is speaking, especially an adult, how many times does this happen to you? You're trying to carry on a conversation. Here comes your little child. Mama, Daddy, I got to ask you something. It may be that in our family, we try to do this, that we try to teach our children, you wait until the adults are through speaking before you address mom or dad. Unless, of course, it is an emergency. Unless John David has broken his arm or something. Then grab us and demand our attention. When speaking to an adult, we would do well to teach our children how to be respectful by teaching them to make eye contact with those adults. That communicates respect. When something is offered, we teach our children to be respectful to include a thank you to saying yes or no. No, thank you. Or yes, thank you. And how many times have you heard this one? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. All of these are illustrations, they're manifestations of respect. And we need to be clear to our children and give them these practical ways of showing respect to those around them. We got to speak these things, be proactive, and do it consistently. And children are going to need strong parents, grandparents, and adult role models in order for them to learn what it means to respect God and to respect others. I was blessed to read about this preacher in Washington, D.C., who told about a lesson that he learned from his family growing up. And let me share that with you. When I was a child, he wrote, my minister father brought home a 12-year-old boy named Roger, whose parents had died. Both parents had died from a drug overdose. There was no one to care for Roger, so my folks decided to take him in and raise him as their own son. At first, it was quite difficult for Roger to adjust to his new home, an environment free of heroin-addicted adults. Every day, several times a day, I heard my parents saying to Roger, no, no, Roger, that's not the way we behave in this family. No, no, Roger, you don't have to scream or fight or hurt other people in order to get what you want. No, Roger, we expect you to show respect in this family. And in time, Roger began to learn and he began to change. Now, did Roger have to make all those changes in order to become a part of the family? No. It was by the grace of this preacher's parents that they took him into their home. But did he then have a lot of hard work to do because he was a member of that family? Yes. They had expectations for him. If you're going to be a member of this family, you need to behave in these ways. You need to be respectful of those around you. Was it difficult for him? It was tough. He had to work at it. But he had a motivation. That motivation was gratitude for the incredible love that he experienced, that he received from his adopted parents. Training in the context of love. That's what talking the talk is all about. Teaching our children, taking that time, making the effort, being aware. And it will require some embarrassing moments at times. And it takes courage for us to be consistent in our training of our children to be respectful. But the fruit of our children being respectful of God and others is worth every effort. But in order for that to happen, we must talk the talk. And secondly, we must walk the walk. There are two principles which guide this principle of walking the walk. Let me state them like this. Number one, example is stronger than words. And we know that, don't we? Our children learn much more by what they see than by what they hear. Because the fact is, many times, they won't listen to our words. But they're always watching our actions. What you and I do will shout so loudly in a child's ears that they won't be able to hear what we're saying. Example is stronger than words. But notice this. Example is longer than words. Children can tell us things about our behavior long after we have forgotten and wish they had forgotten. They'll remember. They seem to have incredible minds to be able to retain all those things. We like for them to retain those good lessons. But they remember the bad examples as well. Example is longer than words. Especially on how our children see us treat other people. I believe that's one of the things that makes the strongest impression on children is how they see adults treating one another. Tim Allen. Wouldn't expect many profound statements to come from this comedian, but I think he said some profound words when he made this statement. He told a writer about being an example. He says, "Dad needs to show an incredible amount of respect and humor and friendship toward his mate. Kids learn by example. If I respect Mom," he said, "they're going to respect Mom." And I think he said a mouthful. Our children will learn respect more effectively when they see us giving that respect to one another and to those around us. A mother told about an experience that she had with her daughter during a worship service. Surprise, surprise, the preacher's sermon just seemed to be stretching on and on. And the daughter was growing fidgety and she began to talk. Well, the mother whispered, "Shh, I want to hear the sermon." Well, later that week, the mother and daughter saw the preacher while shopping. And they exchanged greetings. And as the mother and daughter walked away, the mother asked her, "Do you know who that was?" And listened to her response. "Sure, Mom. That was the sermon." And you know what? That's true. We are the sermon. We are the sermon. Our kids are listening to us all the time, but they're rarely listening with their ears. They're listening mostly with their eyes. In order for our children to learn respect, they've got to hear us teaching them and modeling that teaching by the way that we live. And what we're saying is what the Word of God has said all along. Let me remind you of this passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Notice that word had to be a part of their lives first. The lives of the older generation. The lives of the parents and grandparents. Then the instruction is, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. Shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You internalize the word of God, Moses is saying to them. You model it before them and then teach it to your children. That's the way God's word is communicated most effectively. When we model it before our children and back that up with our teaching. Let's never forget that respect for God and for others in our generation and the generations to come, all that begins with you and with me. And so we ask ourselves tonight, have I demonstrated respect for God? Has He had the proper place in my life? Have I done an effective job of communicating that to my family, to my children? Am I demonstrating the respect that God wants me to demonstrate to my family, to my neighbors, to my church family, to those around me? Am I modeling the behavior that I'm trying to teach my children to model themselves? No, we're not perfect. But thanks be to God, we can have forgiveness. And it may be that there are some that desire to respond to the gospel invitation to know that forgiveness that is found in Christ. And if that be the case, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?